The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. Good morning. Y'all doing all right? I switched from what's up to good morning. Usually go for the what's up, but sounds a little bit like a intro to a YouTube video. If we have not met, my name is Austin McCallum. I am the student ministry pastor here, and I'm really excited to be teaching for you guys this morning. I usually start off with a couple of things about me, and I try to come up with them on the fly so that you get a genuine sense of who I actually am. I am currently marking my Bible. This is first fact about me. I'm marking my Bible with a free meal to Chick-fil-A. So whenever I do get this meal, it'll be doubly blessed. Obviously, they bless it, and now it's blessed. It's absorbing the word. Another thing about me, I have been married now for a little over a year. Thanks. Yeah, my wife's over there. It's been really good. I feel like I should say, if anybody's in here and you're not married yet, and people always tell you right before, they're like, oh man, it's tough. Like, I feel like everything I heard right before I got married, everybody's like, gonna change everything. I hope you're ready. Well, the first year's been great, so it's been really sweet, and I'm not saying it's not going to get hard. I feel like that would be naive, but it hasn't been how people made it seem to be, and so that's been really fun. And then another thing about me, well, here's two things in one. I'm really excited about this shirt that I have on. It's a Ping golf shirt, and I thrifted it the other day. It was the color of the day. So if you thrift clothes, you know that means it was like 50 cents. And I was so stoked to wear it today, honestly. And I don't want your compliments because I'm going to say this, but I was like, if somebody says something good about it, I was going to be so excited. But now I've pointed it out to you and it'll feel disingenuine. So don't say anything about it. But yeah, just know I'm excited about it. So there you go. Now you know a little bit about me. I also want to say, actually, this is another thing. I'm 25 years old. I feel like I'm going to tell you that because of the passage that we're going to be in today. I feel like it's going to mean something as we go along. I would consider myself a young person. Obviously, some of you in the room are much younger than I am, and then some of you in the room are, you know, That option, the other thing that people would say. Yeah. I'm not looking at anyone. I'll be honest with you. A couple of things. I'm also Korean. These lights are really bright. I can't see anybody. So I'm not looking at anyone specifically. I couldn't if I wanted to. It's the way the Lord made me. Yeah, so there you go. Now you know. I can't see anyone, and I'm not squinting as much as you might think I am. Yeah, so today we are going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Goodness, what a beginning. It was more than I thought it was going to be. Over the past few weeks, we have been moving through this letter from Paul to his true son in the faith, Timothy, and a couple of the things that Paul has been emphasizing for Timothy. And this is like the letter that is the passing of the baton. This is Timothy being charged to take on the the pastor role in the church of Ephesus, and Paul is writing this letter either like right as he's taking this on or within the first year of him taking it on. So he's about to just begin this role, and Paul is saying, here are some things that you should know if you're going to be the shepherd of these people's souls. If you're going to be the pastor over this congregation, here's some things that you should be keeping in focus and some things that you should know about the people that are already there. In chapter 1, he talks a bit about this idea of sound doctrine. And that's going to be a theme throughout the rest of the chapters up to where we're at. And so Paul is keeping in focus for him the things that are, we would call them like Christian orthodoxy. But he, in every single chapter, although he also is going to talk about other things like the structure of the leadership, or he's going to rebuke some false teachers, and he's going to call out some divisive people, in every single chapter he's going to have this little piece. Like in the first chapter, he talks about Jesus came to save the sinners. In the next chapter, he's going to talk about God's desire for everyone to have knowledge of the truth. In the next chapter, he ends chapter 3 with this like beautiful little poem. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And so in every single chapter, he's keeping before his true son in the faith, who's now going to be this pastor or is already in pastorship over this congregation. He's keeping before him these things of sound doctrine, these things that he should know about who God is, who we are in light of that, and the way that we're supposed to relate to one another. So he's keeping before him sound doctrine. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. And then as we got to chapter 4, he's just going to kind of dive in a bit more into what that looks like. And the thing that he emphasizes really heavily in chapter 4 is this pursuit of godliness. So who are we in light of who God is? Well, because of everything that God is, we're people that are supposed to pursue acting out of our belief in who he is. And we believe that he's perfect in love. We believe that he's caring, he's kind, and everything that he's created is good. And so the way that we act out of that, and the only good response to that is in pursuit of his character, in pursuit of his perfect character. So these are the things that we've been talking about over the past few weeks. And I think like what it says earlier in chapter 4, where Paul is telling Timothy, everything that God has made is good. Every single thing. And I know specifically he's talking about marriage and food, which, like I already said, marriage is good. And like we'll find out directly following church service, food is also really good. In light of those things that he's telling them, I would like to pray, and then we'll dive into the rest of what we're going to talk about today. So if you would bow your heads with me. Father, thank you so much for the ability to gather together. Thank you for the fact that every single thing you've made is good or very good. Lord, it is such a blessing that we get to open up your word that you have preserved for us so that we could know exactly what you want to tell us. And God, I ask that in this time, we would be able to hear from your Spirit through your word, so that we could look more like Jesus when we leave here, so that we could pursue godliness together. And man, I'm just thankful for this moment. I'm thankful for this time together, and it's in your son's name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so we are going to be in verses 11 through 16, and in this section, it seems to be that Paul is going to kind of zero in on Timothy, and he has a message specifically for him. There's been sections throughout this letter where he's talking to Timothy about leadership. There's been sections throughout the letter where it seems as if he's talking to other people in the church, or at least about other people in the church. And then there's been sections kind of broadly that are just like, this could have been read by anyone, and it's also assumed that this letter would have been read out loud before other people. But in this section, it seems like he's saying something specifically to Timothy, even though it might have been read over everybody. And so the first thing that he says in verse 11, he says, command and teach these things. And so what things is Timothy supposed to command and teach? It's the things that we were just talking about. It's the things that Paul has referenced earlier in this chapter about training up in godliness. It's about believing that everything that God has created is good and responding to his good creation with gratitude. But then I also think it's the things that we were saying happened in 3, 2, and 1 with these little snippets of actual gold truth that he's talking about when it comes to God's character. And so he's saying, command and teach these things to the people. So Timothy, as a pastor, is supposed to keep before them these truths that Paul is talking about. And then he's going to move forward. and this is where it gets kind of funny that I'm the one teaching this passage. But he says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In this section, Paul actually has 10 different imperative statements. And this one right here is pretty interesting because it seems as if it would be difficult for Timothy to control if other people despise him. At least it seems that way to me. Dude, am I messing this mic up or is it just like that? Sorry. So he tells him, let no one despise you for your youth. And so Timothy is probably somewhere around, he's probably somewhere in that like 25 to 35 range. Don't know exactly how old he is, but somewhere around there. So maybe he's got like a couple years on me, or maybe we're around the same age. But how is he supposed to do that? He's supposed to set an example before all of the other people in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And maybe you're looking at this list and you're thinking, well, that's everything. And I think that's what we're supposed to get here. He's telling him, in every single thing you say, be an example. In everything that you do, in all of your conduct, be an example. In the ways that you love people, the way that you relate to every single person that you have a relationship with, be an example. Be an example in the faith that you have, or some translations talk about in the spirit that you have, in the way that you're going to act in obedience to who God is and what he says you're supposed to do, and then in purity. Be an example of someone who is set apart from this world and abstaining from the things of this world. And so the charge to Timothy specifically, honestly, is no different than the charge earlier that he's giving to all the people in the church. It's pursue godliness. What does it look like for Timothy in every single aspect of his life to consider, how do I look more like the person of Jesus? And so this is the advice from Paul to him. Let no one despise you for your youth. And the way that you're going to do that is, he's saying, pursue godliness before them and alongside them. Set an example in everything that you do. And then he's going to continue in verse 13. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So there's this list of things that Paul desires for Timothy to set an example in. It's essentially covering the whole of his life. Set an example with his life in the way that he pursues godliness. And then the practical work that he's supposed to do as a pastor, as a leader of this congregation, the things that he's telling Timothy to commit to or devote himself to do. First is the public reading of Scripture. And so Timothy is a young pastor, and he's saying, when you go before your people, read Scripture together. Next, he's going to say, exhort the people, which I had to ask what this meant, really, if I'm being honest. I didn't grow up in the church, and so it's words like this where I'm like, well, why don't we just say what it means? And it was something to the effect of, it's more than an encouragement. It's like a gentle nudge towards something, or maybe a not-so-gentle nudge towards something, a really strong encouragement, urging someone to something. And so he's saying, before your people, read Scripture. Let's read Scripture together. And then he's telling, out of Scripture, the things that you see rising, the principles of truth that come out of Scripture, when it just so happens that these truths cause for action in your life, urge them towards that action. Make sure that these people that are saying they believe the things that are said in Scripture actually go and act as if they believe the things that are said in Scripture. And then he just says to teach. So he's supposed to publicly read the Scripture before them. He's supposed to urge them into action or strongly encourage them into action. Or if you're really churchy, he's supposed to exhort them. And then he's saying, help them understand it. Keep them rooted in it. So you have this young guy who is supposed to be an example in everything that he does of what it looks like to pursue godliness. And then the way that he's supposed to lead the people really has little to do with the things that he's actually doing. But in God's beautiful way, it has to do a lot with just keep God as the focus of the people. How are you going to be an example in all of these things? Keep God as your focus and keep God as the focus of these people. And so public reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. And then Paul is going to move into verse 14. He says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And we don't know much about what this verse is talking about. It's referenced a couple times, this laying of hands by the elders onto Timothy to recognize some form of spiritual gifting that he has. Some way that the Holy Spirit is working through Timothy, and it seems as if Paul is saying that now is the time when these gifts are going to be used for the benefit of the entire body. Not to say that they haven't before, not to say that they're not going to in the future, but he's saying, do not neglect the gift you have. And I think that what we do know here that is good for us to understand is that Paul is encouraging him to listen to the voices of wise and faithful followers that have gone before him. People that love God, people that are close to God, and love Timothy and are close to Timothy and have been looking at his life and recognize the ways that the Spirit is working in him for the benefit of the people around him. And so we don't know exactly the giftings that he's talking about. Although, as I was studying this, a lot of people that write commentaries were saying that this may be some form of like an ancient ordination, that he's gifted for ministry, that he's gifted to be a pastor. But we don't know exactly what they're talking about. But what we do know is that Paul is saying that there are these wise and faithful elders that were listening to the Spirit on your behalf. And they recognize things in you that the Spirit had gifted you in. And he's saying, do not neglect those things. About, I don't know, 10 days ago, I don't know when last Wednesday was. I'm not that kind of Asian. That math is not my thing. My degree is not in math. I'm sure somebody in here was like, shouldn't he know? So there you go. All 8 Mile, that joke. Last Wednesday, I was teaching the students, and we were talking about fear and how fear can lead you into a lack of trust for God, which results in sin. And I told them one of the things that I fear the most, or I find myself like sitting in this fear and wrestling with it that leads me not to trust, is I fear that I'm not the right person for the job that I have. Like, I'm close with some of you in here. I'm not so close with some of you in here. But all of you could assume, because you're not and because no one is, I'm not perfect. But what's different between you and me is I know every time that I fail. I know all of my shortcomings. I know all the thoughts in my head that I would never share with anyone else. And although I have people that hold me accountable, and although I have people that I feel like know me 100% and are willing to call things out in my life, there are lots of times when I'm influencing students or when it's my job that I'm going to be leading leaders that are old enough to be my parents, where I'm like, God, why am I the one doing this? It seems as if I shouldn't be the one doing this. I don't know if I got the stuff. And when I was reading this, verse 14, I feel like there's an element of Paul saying to Timothy, as his true father in the faith, you're gifted. You are the person, but it's not because of you. It's because of what the Spirit can do through you. And so I think that there's this aspect that goes for Timothy, goes for me, goes for you, of the ability to not be prideful in your strengths, but to be confident in the gifting that the Spirit has given you. Humble in what you can do, bold in what God can do. So he tells them, do not neglect the gifts you have, the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. When he says practice these things, I think that he's referring to all of the things that he told him to be an example in, and the three things that he told him to devote himself to. So he's telling him, practice pursuing godliness. I don't know how to keep this page down. Practice pursuing godliness in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Continue in it. Continue working with God. Continue talking to him about it. Lord, how do I become more like you? And then he's saying, practice reading scripture together. Reading scripture when everyone gathers. Reading scripture with your friends. Reading scripture with your family. Read it. There's benefit to just hearing the word. He's saying, practice these things like we all did together right before we started studying this book or teaching through it. We just had a Sunday morning where we just read it. And maybe not for you, but like I'm thankful that I get to hear some of the things that people say about Sunday mornings. And sometimes it's like really good, just wins. And it's good to hear wins. And what we heard is that it was beneficial for people. It was beneficial, and it's funny because no one taught, and it makes you feel a little bit weird as someone who teaches when they're like, yeah, that Sunday was great. It was actually my favorite in a long time. But it was beneficial that we just read the entire letter of Timothy together. No one gave their commentary on it. No one had to get up here and explain it to anyone. It was just God's Spirit through God's word for the sake of his people. And he's saying, practice all of the things that come along with pursuing God in, holistically in your life. Practice publicly reading scripture together. Practice exhortation. Practice teaching. And then he says, immerse yourself in them. And so it's not just this idea of like, I'm going to practice them or I'm going to like try to keep doing them every day. But immerse yourself is literally be in them. And I'm not exactly sure how to flesh out that idea. But literally be in them. I don't know. I'll just let that speak for itself. I'll let you take care of that. And then he says, so that all may see your progress. And so practicing these things, pursuing godliness in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, devoting yourself to the public reading of scripture, exhortation, and to teaching is not just for Timothy's benefit, but it's also for the benefit of all of the people around them. For everyone that's going to be in relationship with him, the people that are going to interact with them, it's going to bring about, hopefully, encouragement and challenge. I don't know about you guys, but for whatever reason, although I don't know anything about soccer, I recently helped coach a soccer team. I don't know. I won't say for what school because I don't want to talk bad about who they hired, although it's me. Technically, they didn't hire me. I was just helping out, actually. They hired someone that did know something about soccer. They asked if I would help. I was helping out. I know literally nothing about soccer. I haven't played soccer since I was like 3 years old. But over the course of time with this team, they were growing as young men and growing as soccer players. It was actually so beautiful to see. and they're 6th to 8th grade. And then the head coach, who attends here, tore his ACL. It was actually like 2 days after Kyle tore his Achilles, and it was at the same park. So Southside Park, don't go there. It's bad juju over there. He tore his ACL. And then like 2 days later, we had a game. And we pray before the games. And someone, one of the students, asked to pray. And he started praying that Coach Wingo is his name, that he would be healed today. And it was to my benefit that he prayed that. Sorry, I'm soft. It was encouraging because of his faith. And simultaneously, it was challenging because of my lack of faith. And so I think that this charge from Paul to Timothy is not just for Timothy's benefit, but for the benefit of the people around him. And then he's going to say in 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul is instructing Timothy once again to be careful with the way that he acts and to be careful with the things that he teaches. Earlier in this letter, he's already addressed some people that were teaching false doctrine. He talks about the effects of false doctrine in a congregation, how some of those things have led to the divisiveness amongst the church of Ephesus. But the aim of our charge, the aim of sound doctrine, the aim of right teaching is love. And so he's saying, keep watch on yourself to make sure you're leading by example. Keep watch on your teaching to make sure we're going after love. And then he says, persist in these things, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And this sounds weird. It sounds almost like he's saying that Timothy's actions somehow are going to result in his salvation and in the salvation of others, but that's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that over time, as you pursue godliness, as the Lord brings about good works in your life, that is the fruit or that is the result of the salvation that you have. The salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. So he's saying that after you committed your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working on you in this process of sanctification, the only result of God indwelling in you is good things. And so he's saying, continue in this pursuit of godliness as the Holy Spirit enables you to do good works. And in doing so, that will be the proof, essentially, of the fact that you've given your life to Jesus. And as you lead by example, as you pursue godliness before and alongside all of the other people, the rest of the people will benefit from it. And some of those people may be people that are non-believers, but they'll see the way that you pursue godliness. They'll see the way that you've committed your whole life to this thing. They'll understand there must be something legit about this thing that Timothy believes because of the way that he's totally different than before. The way that he does things that it seems as if he was weak in them, but now his weakness has been made strong. And so he's saying that these things, if you would continue to pursue godliness, the good works would be the proof of your salvation and would be for other people's benefit. When I was studying and thinking about what does this say for me and you, if you believe, like we, most of us would say we do, that Scripture is God's word, it's inspired and it's authoritative. It has something to say about the way that we're supposed to live our life. then when you read Scripture, you try not to read yourself into it, but once you understand the principles of truth, you try to figure out, what am I supposed to do with them? And this one, I was talking to Kyle Estep a lot about it, but it was a little strange because he is talking so specifically to Timothy and so specifically to things about Timothy. But I do think that for anyone in here, this idea of we should set an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, we should devote ourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. I think all of those things are a good practice for any of us. I think that pursuing godliness, as he charged the entire church earlier in this chapter, is a good thing for any of us. I think that's what this text is saying, but I also want to point out another thing that I think is specific to this morning, specific to the Family Worship Sunday, and the fact that there are young people in here, and there are, you know, the other people. There is so much beauty in this letter, but specifically this section of this passing of the baton from Paul to Timothy. Paul started this church. Timothy is now the pastor of this church. Paul met Timothy when he was a child, like 13 or something like that. And now he's a man. A young man, but a man. And if this letter is going to be read in front of the entire congregation, the things that he's saying that Timothy is supposed to lead in is not just a challenge for Timothy to continue to pursue godliness, but it is it's an announcement to the rest of the congregation that they're not to despise him because of his youth, but they are to look to him as an example. There's beauty in the fact that Paul knows Timothy's heart enough to say to all of the people of the church of Ephesus, you can look to this young man as he follows Jesus. And so I was wrestling with this, and I was trying to figure out, like, what does this say for us on a family worship Sunday? And I think that for young people, there's something here about the posture of humility to learn from older, wiser people that are further along than you and have gone before you. Timothy does not get to this point of the passing of the baton without sitting under Paul humbly. He doesn't get to the point where Paul is saying, hey, you guys should look at Timothy as he follows Jesus, without Timothy looking at Paul while he follows Jesus. And so for the young person in this room, if you would say that you're young, or if you just feel young, I think there's something to be said about we should humbly look to the people that are further along, wiser, and more experienced in the faith because we stand on their shoulders. Like, I think about my own life, and as I was reading this, I have a little text in my phone from my mentor, or father in the faith, or whatever phrase you would like to use. And honestly, I like the idea of using those phrases because there is something of submission to another believer in that I think is healthy. But he was my youth pastor, part of the reason that I do what I do. And he wrote me a note one day after hearing me teach this like little small group. It wasn't even a bunch of people in there, so it wasn't like anything flashy. But he just sent me a note that said, you're ready, and wherever you go, Jesus will become more famous there. And I keep it because of when I read, like we were talking about in verse 14, when I get down on myself, when I get too prideful about my own shortcomings, and I think that God's not able to overcome the brokenness in me, then I read that and I'm encouraged. And so I think that there's something here for the young person, and then for the older person. I said it, sorry. There's certainly something here about a humble posture to learn from others that are younger than you, but I also think that there's an encouragement to you that you have been persisting in these things. you have been running the race, and you have a responsibility to lift up the younger generation. You have the ability and the responsibility to share your wisdom with someone that is not as far along, not as experienced, and maybe not quite as wise. And so what I want to leave you with, I actually wrote, if you are part of the student ministry, if you're a parent in student ministry, I wrote an email this week and it had some like little talking topics in there. I'm not quite as good as the Summit Kids directors to make a video, but I try. And the talking topics were an encouragement to the parents, but this goes for anyone that has influence over someone younger. Listen to the Spirit on behalf of younger people. Look at their life and seek to encourage them in the ways that the Spirit is gifting them. And also be ready that when they need it and they're going to need it and I'm going to need it, when we need correction, do so in love. Because I get to teach to adults. I'm in big church. Specifically for the older person, the responsibility, the authority that you're given just because you are an adult or because you're older, you have an influence. God's given you this stage, and along with it is the ability to speak into the lives of younger people so that they could get to the point where you could say, it's your life that's a testimony to God's grace. Like Paul has taken Timothy all the way through from you were a child to now you're the one that's going to influence the rest of the people. Let's do our part for all of the young people in here. And so this is a beautiful segue to what we're about to do next. We're going to baptize some people next. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to celebrate. Yeah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. We thank you for all of the saints that have gone before us, the people that we have the benefit of learning from. And Lord, we thank you for the people that you've placed in our lives along the way that we get to stand on their shoulders as we follow you. We've learned from them maybe what to do and what not to do, but they live their life as a testimony of your grace so that we could benefit from it. And so, Lord, as we move into this time where we're going to celebrate these people that are giving their life to you, God, we praise you. We praise you for your faithfulness and your pursuit of us. Lord, we love you and we're thankful for you, and it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.